from E-Town Hall in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, it's E-Town with this week's guests. From Bernice, Louisiana, Robert Finley. From Alaska, Achievement Award winner Chris Pallister. And from Lubbock, Texas, hotshot recording artist Delbert McClinton and Self-Made Men. I'm Helen Forster. Welcome now our host, Nick Forster.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, everybody. Welcome to E-Town Hall. We found each other. Once again, you guys found your way to E-Town. Welcome. This is going to be fun. We know that music brings us together. We know that rhythm and blues feels good. We know that a certain part of our country has created more feel-good music than just about any other, and that is the two states of Texas and Louisiana. So for some reason, those two states have given birth to more musicians, more musical styles, flavors, more songs, more singers than any other part of the country, and it's been going on for a long time, and we say thank you. We have got a guy coming up who grew up in the little town of Bernice, Louisiana, played guitar since he was 11. He's now in his 60s, and he's back playing music full-time after a career as a carpenter. We got a guy in his 70s who moved from Lubbock when he was 11 to Fort Worth with his family. He went on to play in bands as a teenager, backing up blues legends like Howlin' Wolf, Sonny Boy Williamson. And then in 1962, he played the harmonica solo on his friend Bruce Channel's hit record, Hey Baby, and that became a number one hit and sold more than 1 million copies. Of course, he toured behind that record. And yes, he did help John Lennon refine his harp playing skills back in 62. But, you know, the main thing is, this guy kept at it. He kept writing songs and recording. He moved to LA, he moved to Nashville. He had songs cut by others like Emmylou Harris and even the Blues Brothers. Very few singers can be both instantly recognizable and have the music feel so good. But this guy has done that, and he's done it for a long time. We're so happy to have him back on the show. Would you help me please welcome back to E-Town, along with his band, the one and only Delbert McClinton.
Like to go ask everyone about her, but nobody. nobody seemed to know. He saw coming out of that place called Bongo Jumbo. He went back. Let me make it up to you. We've been together so long. Please hold on. Don't do it. Yeah, please don't do it.
Delbert McClinton, good to have you back on the show.
Good
Welcome
to be back.
Back. You got a new record, Prick of the Litter. Interesting play on words. So almost all the songs on the new record you either wrote or co-wrote, a bunch of them with your bandmates, Bob Britt and Mike Joyce. Do you guys write on the road or just at home?
Well, we don't write so much on the road. I don't know why, but that's never been something that's come real easy to me. I kind of got to have an atmosphere to write, and being on the road is not the atmosphere.
Yeah. Is it more like you just invite them over to your house and
yeah.
have
Yeah, we get together yeah. And sit across each other from guitars and try to make stuff up.
Yeah. Is that like one of your favorite things to do, like your favorite pastime? You know, once you're home and you're not touring, just hang out and make stuff up.
Well, but also, I've got a place in Mexico that we go to. That's where we do the best work.
Oh, that's cool. And so that's the right atmosphere where the creativity can really flow.
It does quite well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So most people know a bunch of your backstory, and I don't want to go too deep into it.
No, but they don't know much.
Well, I want to ask you a couple things. Like, for example, one of your first bands, the Straight Jackets. What were the clubs like in Fort Worth for a band like yours at that time in the early 60s? What kind of places could you play?
They were dance halls.
Yeah.
That's what they were called, and that's people came to dance.
Yeah.
Back in the early or mid-50s, actually, mid-late 50s when I started doing this.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to play in the dance halls, the beer joints, you had to make people dance. If you couldn't make them dance, you're out.
Wow.
So we made them dance.
Yeah. Were the clubs segregated at all? Were there white clubs and black clubs?
Yeah, they were very segregated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is it that you guys could then also back up Howlin' Wolf and Lightnin' Hopkins and Jimmy
Reed? Well, those guys were brought in to be special guests for the weekend.
At the dance places?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the audience was white, but the artist could be black.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, in case you just tuned in, you're listening to E-Town. I'm here with Delbert McClinton. You had some heart surgery not long ago, and things went well, apparently.
They did. I fortunately didn't have a heart attack. Hmm. I felt really strange. Nothing like you hear somebody says, well, you feel this if you're having a heart attack. I just felt like something was wrong all over. I told the guys, I think I need to go to the hospital. And I was 95% blocked in the main artery.
Hmm.
And the next day, they cleaned it out. And I feel like I'm 50 again.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you.
Well, you have always been a guy who can sing in just about any key. And now you're even stronger.
I am.
It's amazing. Well, listen, you've been at this a long time, playing songs, writing, recording, 60 years or whatever, almost.
And that's 63.
63 actually. Years you've been doing this. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Is there anything out there that you kind of still dream of doing, somebody you'd like to sing with or record with, or any like, man, someday I'd really like to do this?
Yeah. There's only one thing I want to do. I want to sing with Gaga. She is the stuff, I'm telling you.
Yeah, have you reached out to her people?
No, I haven't, but...
All right, we'll get to work on that.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Let me know when it happens.
Okay, all right. That is not what I was expecting. But it's always good to have a dream, isn't it?
That's right, you got to have a dream.
You got to have a dream.
You got to have a dream.
Well, listen, congratulations again. We're going to get back to music. The new record, once again, is called Prick of the Litter. The ever irreverent and hardworking and fun Delbert McClinton. Welcome back to E-Town.
Try to get you on the phone and get stuck on
just keep getting sidetracked. Faxing you love notes all day long, but you don't fax me back. I know you got your schedule and you're keeping it tight. Got something going on in your mind, man. I got something I know you're gonna like, so honey, can you squeeze me in?
Delver McClinton, along with his band Bob Britt, James Pennebaker, Mike Joyce, Jack Bruno, Kevin McKendry, Scott Duque, and Bob Rebholz, the record, Prick of the Litter, out on Hot Shot Records. These guys will be back to play some more music later on in the show.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible in part by Zayo Group, providing communication infrastructure services to the world's leading businesses. With its fiber network that powers the voice, data, and video traffic we depend on every day. You can learn more at Zayo.com. That's Zayo.com. By the Bohemian Foundation, building stronger communities through the Bohemian qualities of creativity and imagination. On the web at bohemianfoundation.org. And by our diverse family of NPR affiliates, community stations, college and commercial stations, as well as our international stations and podcast subscribers worldwide. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. Delbert McClinton's going to be back later on along with his band. And coming up, great musician, guitar player, singer, and songwriter from Louisiana. Robert Finley is here. He's going to be out in just a little while. Before we get back to music, though, I'm going to introduce you to somebody we get to meet with the help of one of our listeners. And we get to do this every week. Somebody out there is stepping up and making a difference in their hometowns. And folks we find out about from folks just letting us know. These are often pretty small stories. People take small steps to try to make things better, and they often add up to making a bigger difference. And we're proud to be able to share those stories with all of you. We give them the Achievement Award, and here comes Helen Forster to tell you about this week's winner.
Thanks, Nick. Listener Liam Kummer turned us on to this week's story. Chris Pallister first moved to Alaska in 1981 to work a construction job. One of his favorite places to visit there was Prince William Sound. He'd read about it as a kid and made a point to check it out. He noticed that there was a certain amount of garbage buildup on the shore, but didn't think much about it at the time. Years later, he left Alaska for law school in Oregon. When he graduated, he returned to Alaska, and at that time, he was totally dismayed by the major increase in garbage that had steadily been accumulating at the Sound since he'd last seen it. Well, he knew he had to do something about it. The trick was, though, that the coastline in many areas made it impossible to get the proper equipment in there to do the job. But that didn't stop Chris. He founded a small but dedicated group to go out and pick up the trash by hand from some of the most hard-to-reach coastline areas, and the results have truly been amazing so far. And he's here to tell us more about it. Chris is here from Alaska. He's going to tell us about the project, how it works, and what they've accomplished. And right now, I ask you to join me in welcoming our winner this week, Chris Pallister of Anchorage, Alaska.
Chris, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Nick.
So you had read about Prince William Sound as a kid, is that right, Helmstead?
Yeah, I was kind of into nautical stories then, and I read a story about people hunting and stuff in Prince William Sound, and the chart just fascinated me because of all the intricate passageways and highlands and stuff.
Yeah.
I always wanted to go there.
Yeah. Did it meet your expectations?
Far exceeded them.
Yeah.
It's a huge area. Look at the map, and it doesn't look like much, but it's 100 miles wide and 100 miles north and south, so, you know, 10,000 square miles of islands and coastline. There's over 3,500 miles of really rugged, remote shoreline just in that area.
And so as you were there for the first time, you noticed some debris and trash on the beach, but it didn't make a big impression on you.
No, you don't really see it when you're just touring around and stuff, and the inner sound's pretty clean, but when you get on those outer beaches, it's just astounding.
And those outer beaches are hard to get to.
Very hard. I mean, you're dealing with rocky brown bears, horrendous weather. I mean, it's a pretty tough environment.
Yeah. And so it seems it must be kind of incongruous. You go through this crazy journey to get there, and you're in the deepest wilderness, and then there's all this trash and no people.
That's exactly right. Montague Island is the single biggest uninhabited island in the United States. It's 50 miles long, and nobody lives on it, and there's 20 to 30 tons of plastic per mile on those outer shorelines.
My God.
And that is a massive volume of plastic.
And this is all stuff that's drifting in across the Pacific from Asia.
Upwards of 50% of it is derelict commercial fishing debris, but a lot of that is from foreign fishing fleets and offshore fleets. But all the consumer items that we find, they're pretty much all from the Western Pacific countries.
Right. So tell me how this works. How do you do this?
We have a professional crew, we call them, and they're guys that have been working for us for years, and we have boats, and we take them out to these outer islands, because we worked our way out of Prince William Sound gradually, and our target was always these outer coastlines, but it took us a lot of years, we've been doing this 15 years or something, to get the ability and the money and the infrastructure that we needed to do it. But now we take our crews out there, and we anchor our boats in the protected waters on the inside. Then we use helicopters to go to the outside, because we can go around and try and get on the outside where all the garbage
There's
is.
No way to land, right?
You know, if it's dead calm, maybe, but we've had guys get on shore in dead calm weather, and then these big ocean swells will start coming in and they're trapped.
Right.
It really got down to where, to be efficient, we had to use helicopters. So our costs are really high.
Yeah. And the danger is not insignificant.
No, it's really pretty treacherous. We've had guys injured. We're dealing in great big log jams. I mean, sometimes the logs are piled 15 feet high and they're plumb full of garbage. And so we have two guys on chainsaws all day long cutting through the log jams to get all the entangled lines and nets out. So you got that danger. You got logs rolling around and slipping on rocks. And we've had a lot of times when our surf boats have been flipped and people have been thrown out. And, you know, that's really the helicopters have been a big factor in reducing the risk.
And what's the typical number of people that you're dealing with at a given time in terms of your crew?
We usually have 8 to 12 people in the crew during the summertime. Sometimes we'll have 3 helicopters and a massive barge. We got all those people working.
It's amazing that this is such an innocent idea. Like, oh, look at all this garbage. I'm going to help clean up the garbage. I mean, that's like, what a nice guy kind of thing to do. But then it turns out to be this incredible logistical challenge and incredible expensive operation. And then tell us a little bit about what happens once you gather all this stuff up and you're in these remote places. What do you do with it?
We realized the best way to do this is consolidate all this debris in what we, super sacks or big sacks.
Yeah.
About a yard and a third cubic yard. And then we put those up above the high tide line or out of the storm surges and stuff and just keep doing that until we have enough consolidated to justify bringing a big barge out. And those barges will run $17,000 to $25,000 a day. So you want to have a full barge load. I mean, and we want to take out 300 tons of plastic, 500 tons of plastic at a time.
So that's a lot of debris.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine 500 tons of plastic garbage. Now, does some of it get processed or recycled or anything like that?
Yeah, and we had sponsor Parley for the Oceans. They agreed to fund a recycling project. So we brought all the Anchorage, and we got like 100 volunteers that came in there. I think we had 1,200 super sacks, or about 300 tons of plastic. And those volunteers came back every single day, and in 5 days, we sorted every single bit of that. Wow. And recycled probably 60-70% of it.
Holy smokes. So Chris, some people might question your sanity.
Yeah, I do that on a regular basis. Yes.
But let me ask you about the results.
Yeah, we've now cleaned over 1,500 miles of shoreline.
1,500 miles?
1,500 miles.
Wow.
And it's costing $100,000
a mile. $100,000
a mile? A mile.
And how are you raising the dough?
It's tough. I mean, yeah. Things are drying up. The Japanese government very generously funded us for 3 years to clean up some of that tsunami debris, and there's a massive amount of it out there everywhere. And the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council, using money from the oil spill settlement, funded us for 4 seasons, and we've got state grants and federal grants through NOAA. But those sources of money are drying up. It's getting very difficult now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just hard.
Oh, man, I can tell. I can tell it's hard. Holy smokes. Well, Chris, you have a name for this organization?
Yeah, it's Gulf of Alaska Keeper.
Gulf of Alaska Keeper. And there's a website?
Yes, goak.org.
Goak.org. How do you spell that?
Goak.org.
Okay.
I confess I'm the world's worst person about keeping our website updated. So.
Well, it sounds like you got some other stuff to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty.
But I think it's literally one of the most incredibly ambitious community outreach, cleaning up garbage projects I've ever even imagined.
But, you know, it's all about habitat, and that's all critical habitat. You know, there's endangered sea lions, there's endangered birds, there's, fish that are depleted, and plastic is not just unsightly. It's horrible pollution. It's got all kinds of nasty chemicals in it, stuff which we know our studies have shown are leaching out and getting into salmon and compromising their immune system and stuff. So
fisheries,
it's a serious issue.
Yeah.
The marine debris exists in all oceans of the world. They find it at the North Pole. It's in practically every organism they look at in the ocean now. And it's from the surface to the bottom of the ocean. It, in my opinion, after global warming, is the most serious environmental problem on the planet.
Wow.
It's really big.
Well, Chris, thanks for doing this. Thanks for starting this. And thanks for riding this to this, you know, where it is now. And the impact you're having is amazing. Yep. It's enlightening to hear you talk about it. Thanks so much for coming down and sharing your story with us. This week's Achievement Award winner is Chris Pallister, Gulf of Alaska Keeper. If you want more information, go to goak.org. Congratulations, Chris.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Man, that's a great story. If you just tuned in and you missed part of it, you can find it on our website, etown.org. If you want to find out how to support Chris's work, or if you'd like to nominate someone doing great work to better the lives of others or the planet in some way, you can do that on our website as well by heading to our homepage and clicking on the word award at the far right of the top menu. You can learn what we look for, and you can submit your nomination there. Or you can always write us the old-fashioned way at Box 954, Boulder, Colorado, 80306.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, Chris. Remarkable story, as she said. So we got more music coming up from Delbert McClinton in just a little while, and his band will be there too. Right now, I want to tell you about what's next. Robert Finley. He grew up in Bernice, Louisiana, a little lumber town named after the infant daughter of the man who sold the land for the town back in 1899. Robert began playing guitar when he was 11 years old. And in 1970, he joined the Army, ended up leading an army band in Germany before heading back home. And he kind of kept up his music thing when he got back to Louisiana, but eventually went to work as a carpenter, which he did for most of his adult life, until he started to lose his eyesight. So that forced him to give up carpentry. He went back to music. And around that time, there's an organization called Music Makers Foundation. They helped him get a nice instrument and meet a producer. And he made his first record. He's just had all kinds of attention since then. His first record was called Age Don't Mean a Thing. Last year, he put out a 5-song EP with Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys. That's the soundtrack to a graphic novel that's called Murder Ballads. And there is a brand new record also in partnership with Dan Auerbach that's coming out. He is both a veteran performer who's been at this a long time, and he's a newcomer. So please welcome for his first visit to E-Town, Robert Finley.
I got a problem, y'all. I got a problem. I got a snake crawling in my grass, and I can't catch him. He's just a little bit too fast. But I got a snake crawling in my grass, and one of these days I'm gonna cross his path. I told my neighbor, I told my friend, try to help me stop that old snake from coming in. But once I told them what my baby was trying to do, don't you know my neighbor, he started trying to get in too. Oh, something going on, and I know it ain't right. But she's not satisfied till the phone rang every night. I got a snake crawling in my grass, and I can't catch him. He's just a little bit too fast. But I know it's a snake crawling in my grass, and one of these days I'm gonna cross the path. The low-down dirty snake, let me tell you what he do. He bites my old lady, and he's charming my children too. Even my baby won't tell me his name. What he done to my family, y'all, is a doggone crying shame. Whatever he's doing, he must be doing it right. Cause she's not satisfied till the phone rang every night. I got a snake crawling in my grass, and I can't catch him. He's just a little bit too fast. But I know it's a snake crawling in my grass, and one of these days I'm gonna cross his path. Laid off from work one day, trying to catch him in my home. But by the time I made it back, he'd bit my girl and gone. I've never seen him, but I can tell when he been there. Every time he come, y'all, he leaves such a funky smell. Oh, something going on, and I know it ain't right. But she's not satisfied till the phone rang every night. I got a snake crawling in my grass, and I can't catch him. He's just a little bit too fast. But I know it's a snake crawling in my grass, and one of these days I'm gonna catch his ass. Dirty snake, it's a dirty snake crawling in my grass.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your love has done for me.
wanna tell everybody how your love has set me free. When you came in my life, I was really feeling down. But girl, your love turned my whole world around. You picked me up and turned me around. Now you got me feeling like a brand new man. Oh, I just wanna tell what your love has done for me, ooh, baby. Oh, I just wanna tell everybody how your love has set me free.
Robert Finley, welcome to E-Town. So good to meet you, good to hear you. Bernice, Louisiana sounds like a small town.
Yeah, it's about 1,600 people.
So. 1,600 people.
But they're good people.
Yeah. Now, I understand when you were growing up, you had a love of gospel quartets. The music spoke to you in some way, right?
Right, right. My mom and dad all sung in gospel quartets. Mm-hmm. We had to sing in the choir whether we wanted to or not.
So. Yeah. And was your family? So your family was pretty religious.
Very religious. Yeah. Well, to be honest, we wasn't allowed to even play blues on the radio, more or less than be caught singing it.
Yeah.
But you know, kids will be kids.
Yeah. Is that story true about you getting some money for new shoes?
Very true story.
Yeah. Well, tell us what happened.
I had helped my dad do a little job, and he decided to pay me, and he said, "Don't waste your money on candy and cookies." He said, "I want you to do something with it." So he sent me to town. This was to be my first time to actually buy my own shoes. But before I got to the shoe store, I had to pass by a store, and they had a beautiful guitar in the window.
How old were you when this was happening?
Oh, I was 10.
10.
And it had a price on it of $19.95. And I had $20. Coach Marvel's story is I didn't know nothing about taxes or anything like that. So the lady, when she added it up, she was telling me what it was going to cost. And I say, "Ma'am, we're looking at the sign. It says $19.95, okay?" All right. It was five of us little boys, me and four of my friends. So our plan was to buy the guitar, get the nickel back, and buy us some bubble gum on the way home. Because bubble gum was a penny then. So
yeah.
I said, five of us, we'll have a piece of bubble gum a piece left. So my dad wasn't very pleased with it, but at the time he said, "Well, it was your money." Mm-hmm. Then I began to play in a gospel group.
Oh, cool.
At the age of 12, it was the Gospel Bells.
And the Gospel Bells. How old were you when you joined the Army?
I went in on my 19th birthday.
So you're a teenager still, but you're over there, and pretty soon you get in a band. Mm-hmm. You were doing cover songs, and this is 1970 or 71, something like that?
This was in 1974.
74.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you go back home to Louisiana, and it's tough to keep a band together and find enough work and so on, right?
Yeah. See, in the military, it was real easy because if a guy had orders to be at rehearsal at 6 o'clock, if he's not there, he's AWOL, you know, and which came out of his check. But once got back to the States, Willie may show up, he may not, because, you know, these were all young guys. It wasn't a season like these professionals that you got here today.
Yeah. You know? Well, I'm just trying to imagine. So you put it aside, and you went into being a carpenter and building houses, right?
Right. I put the R&B on the back burner and started playing for the local churches every Sunday so that I would stay in shape.
Yeah. And so you were keeping your hand in it, but still working a day job.
Right.
How long ago did you start losing your sight? And I understand that's what kept you from keeping the day job, right?
Right. Well, it's been about 2.5 years now, close to 3 years. I got to where I couldn't tell the difference between a 3 and an 8, you know. Or five. So the numbers
on the tape measure.
On the tape measure, yeah. Right. And I got to making mistakes on my cuts. Yeah. And before I humiliated myself, I just decided to pull out of it. You know, sometimes men don't like to go to the doctor. And when I did decide to go, I had almost waited too late because I had lost all of my right eye and probably 60% of my left one. So, but it's not said as a pity party because it took me losing one thing in order to find myself, yeah, what I feel like my true calling were.
Yeah. Well, listen, Robert, I think it's an amazing story, and it's great that you're on the road, you're traveling. I know you're playing festivals and playing clubs and recording. And
right.
Just sounds like things are going well, and you're getting to do something you were born to do and that you love doing.
I'm living my childhood dream.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to music. Welcome back, if you would, Mr. Robert Finley from Bernice, Louisiana.
My love, baby,
makes it ill. I'm trying to tell you, baby, that age don't mean a thing. I'm qualified to be your man, and I'm not too hard to understand, and I'll always do the best I can. But age don't mean a thing, baby. You don't mean a thing, yeah. See, my age don't mean a thing. Well, I heard a rumor going around town.
The age don't mean a thing.
Said all she wants is my money. But oh, you can tell them Robert said it.
Robert Finley, Bernice, Louisiana. His newest record is called Going Platinum. Along with E-Tones, Christian Thiel, Paul McDaniel, Ron Jolly, and Helen Forster, Robert Finley.
This portion of E-Town is made possible by Silk, the charter sponsor of Change the Course. The program was co-created with National Geographic to restore water in critically water-stressed ecosystems. You can learn more about Silk's commitment to the environment and to plant-based nutrition at silk.com. And by the way, if you missed some of this week's show, feel free to check out the E-Town podcast, where you'll find this episode and others, along with tons of additional content, such as songs, interviews, conversations from the E-Town archives. The podcast is available for free in iTunes, Google Play, and other podcast directories. You're listening to E-Town.
Nick Forster, I'd like to say hello to our listeners who are hearing E10 on stations like WVTF, Virginia's Public Radio, in Roanoke, Virginia, on KRFC in Fort Collins, Colorado, and on Progressive Voices in New York, New York, online at progressivevoices.com or through the Progressive Voices app. And as always, if you want more information about any of our guests this week, you can check it out online at etown.org, where you can also find out how to get tickets to upcoming shows. Now, we've got two artists this week, one from Louisiana, one from Texas, two states that have been relatively hammered by big storms and floods and hurricanes and such. These mega storms are happening more often because warmer ocean temperatures give the storms more energy and moisture and lead to more rainfall and higher sea levels, mean more flooding and storm surge, and they're exacerbated because of climate change. Now is an excellent time to start talking about that stuff because it's so obvious, and it's so relevant, and it's okay to talk about it. We are a nation of innovators. We will figure out a new path. And these Louisiana and Texas folks deserve our full attention because they are in harm's way more than many. Right now, would you please help me welcome back to E-Town, along with his fine band, the Self-Made Men, Mr. Delbert McClinton.
To grow old with me. I'm trying to find a woman that wants to grow old with me. Yeah, I want to settle down, right, raise a family. Well, I'm kind of in a hurry because time is passing by. Yeah, I'm kind of in a hurry because time is passing by. If I don't get a woman soon, I'll be too old to try. And that ain't good.
That's Delbert McClinton with his band, Bob Britt on guitar, James Pennebaker on guitar, Mike Joyce on the bass, Jack Bruno on the drums, Kevin McKendry on the keyboards, Scott Duquet on the trumpet, and Bob Rebholz on the sax. The record's called Prick of the Litter. We've got time for one more song. I want to get everybody out on stage. A special thanks to Robert Finley coming up from Bernice, Louisiana. Along with Helen and the E-Tones. Thanks to our award winner, Chris Pallister, cleaning up the trash on the remote beaches of Alaska. Incredible effort on behalf of all of us. Thanks to Delbert McClinton and his band, the Self-Made Men. Thanks to all of you for being with us. I'm Nick Forster. Hope you can be with us next week right here in E-Town.
Changes you keep putting me. You stole my money, my
produced by a donor-supported nonprofit organization. To make an Achievement Award nomination or comment on the show in general, feel free to visit our website, etown.org, or contact us through Twitter or our two Facebook pages. Of E-Town is made possible by our family of sponsors, this station, and listeners like you. This is a production of the E-Town Radio Network.